Hearty greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's kick off with African football. Zanzibar beat defending champion Uganda Friday 2-1 to advance to the final at the 39th CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup tournament in Kenya. Zanzibar has been a surprise package at this competition for member teams of CECAFA, the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations. And in Kenya's western city of Kisumu Friday, the heroes of Zanzibar continued their heroic run. Abdulaziz Makame opened the scoring for Zanzibar with a goal in the 22nd minute. In the 38th minute, Derek Nsibambi equalized for the Cranes of Uganda. It was Derek's fourth goal of the tournament, tops among all players. In the 57th minute, though, Mohamed Issa scored the game-winning goal for Zanzibar off a penalty kick. Final score from Kisumu, Zanzibar 2, defending champion Uganda 1 at the CASAFA CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup Tournament. Now from Kisumu, Zanzibar will now travel southeast to Machakos to play host Kenya in Sunday's final at Kenyatta Stadium. The Harambee Stars of Kenya advanced Thursday when they edged the Swallows of Burundi 1-0 in extra time in Kisumu. The Belgian head coach of Kenya's Harambee Stars is Paul Put.
We tried to get the full concentration of the players. I think it went good up until so far. So we have a good group who are disciplined. So I think it's important for the boys to show them to the Kenyan people, also for themselves to prove their quality.
Paul Put and the Kenyans will try to prove their quality against a familiar opponent. On December 9th at Kenyatta Stadium in Machakos, Kenya and Zanzibar battled to a scoreless draw in a group stage match. So if that score line is any indicator, Sunday's final in Machakos should be a very competitive fixture. Elsewhere in African football, South Africa will face Lesotho in Saturday's final at the COSAFA Under-20 Cup Tournament in Ndola, Zambia. This competition is for member teams of COSAFA, the Council of Southern Africa Football Associations. And it's for players born on or before January 1st, 1998. Joining us now with more details on the South Africa-Lesotho title match is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. South Africa and Lesotho are through to the 2017 COSAFA Cup semis to set up a meeting in Saturday's final. Amajita of South Africa defeated Egypt 1-0 in the first match at the Nkana Stadium with Luvuyo Makatsana netting the decisive goal. Thabo Senong, head coach of the Amajita, says his team has got their eyes on the title.
Yeah, we'll take one game at a time. It's just back to training, work hard again, analyze the Egyptians, correct our few mistakes, and then go and work hard for another 90 minutes.
Lesotho, meanwhile, defeated Uganda 6-5 on penalties after the two sides played to a goalless stalemate in the second match. Staying with football, Nigeria Football Federation First Vice President Seyi Akinwumi is to head a four-man panel to unravel the issues behind the slip that led to Nigeria forfeiting the 2018 FIFA World Cup qualifying match against Algeria in Constantine on the 10th of November 2017. It means that Nigeria still finished top of Group B, but with 13 points behind of 14, while Algeria's total at the bottom is now 4 rather than 2. The concluding match of the Group B of the African Series of the Russia 2018 qualifying round ended in a 1-1 draw, but FIFA awarded all 3 points to Algeria following Nigeria's use of ineligible defender Abdullahi Shehu in the encounter. Seyi Akinwumi says his committee, which has 2 weeks to submit its report, will, among other things, recommend appropriate sanctions and also make other recommendations that will forestall such error in the future.
So it can't be all bad. The important thing is to learn from this, and thank God that it came at the time where we have the opportunity of a second chance. It doesn't derail our attention, our motivation.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In more football news, 19-year-old Christian Pulisic has been named the U.S. Soccer Male Player of the Year for 2017. Pulisic is the youngest player in the award's 34-year history to win the prize, eclipsing four-time honoree Landon Donovan, who won it for the first time at age 21. And Christian Pulisic won the award in dominating fashion. The Borussia Dortmund player earned 94% of the vote conducted by U.S. Players, Federation, and professional coaches. Now, it wasn't a great year for the U.S. men's national soccer team. The Americans failed to qualify for the World Cup for the first time since 1986. But Christian Pulisic was one of the bright spots during the USA's doomed World Cup qualifying campaign. Christian led the U.S. team with 6 goals and 4 assists during 2017. And Pulisic also scored or assisted on 9 of the 16 U.S. goals in 2018 World Cup qualifying matches. Christian Pulisic also helped Borussia Dortmund win the German Cup. He says it's definitely a big honor to be named U.S. Soccer Male Player of the Year. But Christian adds that he felt destroyed after the USA failed to qualify for next year's World Cup in Russia. In Pulisic's words, and I quote, "It was my biggest dream. Everything I wanted to do was to go to the World Cup. And obviously for me, it was a huge disappointment. We couldn't do it." Meanwhile, the U.S. women's national soccer team is ending the year on a higher note than their male counterparts. The American women will ring in 2018 as the world's top-ranked team, according to FIFA, the sport's international governing body. This marks the 3rd year in a row the USA is number one in the end-of-year FIFA rankings for women. Taking a quick look at the world's top 10 female teams to end 2017, Germany is number 2, followed by England, Australia, and Canada. France is 6th, and the Netherlands is 7th. Rounding out the top 10 are Brazil, Japan, and Sweden. The highest-ranked African women's team is Nigeria. The Super Falcons of Nigeria are 37th overall. The Black Queens of Ghana are next at 46th overall. And the Indomitable Lionesses of Cameroon are 48th overall. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Just ahead, my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson will have a package of sports news topped by an Olympic champion skier. So please, keep on the sunny side.
Oh, keep on the sunny side. It will help you every day. It will brighten
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. That's Press Conference USA, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Carol. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson joins us now with a package of sports news. And Jim begins with an Olympic champion skier from the United States who's hoping to climb the medals podium again at the Winter Games in South Korea in February.
U.S. skier Lindsey Vonn is hoping to again dominate women's downhill skiing, this time in South Korea. The American star won downhill gold at the 2010 Vancouver Games, but missed the 2014 Sochi Games due to injury.
I have been anxiously awaiting these Olympics for the last 8 years. I've been training especially hard this summer.
Vonn had a setback in Switzerland Saturday. After injuring her back in a World Cup race, she withdrew from another scheduled Super G on Sunday before that race was canceled due to fog.
Right now I'm trying to stay healthy going in. So far it's not going very well, but I feel like I'm saving all of my luck for February.
The 33-year-old Vonn is relying on experience to get back on top of the medals podium.
Most of the time, younger athletes, I mean, I was the same, underestimate the older athletes, but the one thing that I have is experience. I know how to handle the pressure.
Could this be Vonn's final Olympics?
I don't know if this will be my last Olympics. I would imagine it will be. My body's taken a pretty solid beating over the course of my career, so I'm not sure if it can handle any more. But I definitely will keep skiing if it's possible.
1 year after successfully hosting the FIFA U17 Women's World Cup, Jordan is now looking toward the 2018 AFC Women's Asian Cup, which will offer five nations a place at the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. Moya Dodd is a vice president of the Asian Football Confederation. She hopes Jordan will emulate recent success in Africa.
I think we've seen other confederations set some really high benchmarks around the world. For example, in Africa, at the last Women's African Cup of Nations, the final a year ago was held between Nigeria and Cameroon. They had more than 40,000 people, I think, and they had to lock the gates 5 hours before kickoff because there's so many people wanted to come.
Dodd hopes that enthusiasm will extend to the host city, Amman.
I would love to see this kind of enthusiasm around a Women's Asian Cup. So I guess that's the challenge to all the fans of football in Jordan, and I hope many who will come and visit your wonderful country during that tournament to see if we can't break some attendance records here next April.
Host Jordan is in Group A with China, Thailand, and the Philippines. Reigning Women's Asian Cup champion Japan shares Group B with Australia, South Korea, and Vietnam. Asian Football Confederation Vice President Moya Dodd says football can go a long way to dealing with big world problems.
In difficult times, it's sport that can bring us together and show the world that this is a forum for constructive engagement rather than conflict.
Golf's unofficial year-end events continue with very real prize money for the players involved. American Steve Stricker and Sean O'Hare each pocketed $410,000 first-place checks at the QBE Shootout in Naples, Florida. In the final round of a better ball event, Stricker and O'Hare rallied from a two-shot deficit on the front nine and finished with a two-shot lead over Northern Ireland's Graham McDowell and Shane Lowry of Ireland. O'Hare credited Stricker's strong play around the greens.
Steve, with his putter and his short game, it kind of just allows me to go out and play golf and not have to worry about, you know, playing too aggressively. Really freed me up this week. He made so many great putts and just kind of kept us in it. And I felt like I played a lot better because of that.
The annual 12-team event is hosted by Australian great Greg Norman. The Joburg Open Golf Tournament in South Africa was to have ended Sunday.
Oh, that's what we didn't want to hear. Well, play suspended then.
Bad weather for Shubhankar Sharma of India and the rest of the field to wait until Monday when Sharma emerged the winner.
Yeah, I was really calm. Obviously, I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up like three times because it was raining so hard. It kept hitting the window and I kept waking up. But I'm so happy that it's finished now and I have won. Yeah, can't wait to go back home and celebrate with my family.
Perhaps his bigger prize. Sharma qualifies to play in his first British Open Championship next year at Carnoustie Golf Links in Angus, Scotland.
It's my favorite major, and if there's one major that I would want to win, it would be the Open Championship, because I think it's a true test of golf. I mean, you have to be good with every aspect of your game, and it's not easy to win out there. I mean, people who have won there, I mean, they have their name on the trophy, have been true champions, and yeah, it'll be great for me that I'm playing there. I think there will be a few Asians playing next year, and just to be one of them, it's absolutely fantastic.
South African Eric Van Rooyen finished three shots behind Sharma, but now he also gets to play in his first British Open.
It's the one we all want to win. It's the Open. I mean, if you look at the names on this trophy, I was looking at early, you know, you've got Ben Hogan, I mean, just legends of the game. So really excited. I feel like a little kid inside, you know. It's your first major championship, something I've played for, you know, my whole life. So I'm very much looking forward to it.
South African Sean Norris placed third at the Joburg Open, six shots behind Sharma.
And
he gets to go to the
this.
British Open again.
It's the biggest dream to play in the Open Championship. I'm ecstatic.
An ecstatic South African golfer, Sean Norris. And thanks to my Voice of America colleague, Jim Stevenson, for that spicy sports package. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check out my Facebook page on this Friday, you'll see a cover photo of the U.S. Capitol building here in Washington, located just a short walk from our VOA headquarters. In front of the Capitol is a sparkling Christmas tree. Last night, on my walk to the Metro subway station across our National Mall, I stopped to take a photo of the Christmas tree in the Capitol, so check it out. Magnus Chisholm Onwuadiwe, the humble apostle of the Sunny Side of Sports, checked out the photo and wrote at my Facebook page, "Christmas in the air, a beautiful one." And Magnus was writing from Owerri in Imo State, Nigeria. Martins Abraham, writing from Kafour Adua in Ghana, says, "Good position, nice looking," regarding the tree. And Jide Adeniyi, writing from Osun, Nigeria, says simply, "Nice, Merry Christmas." Joining us once again on the show is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty seasonal greetings, Andrew.
Sporty seasonal greetings to you as well, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending on this Friday?
Well, the U.S. men's national soccer team may not be going to the World Cup in 2018, but despite that setback, the future is looking bright. And as you mentioned, that is because of one young man, Christian Pulisic, of course, being named the 2017 U.S. Soccer Male Player of the Year at just age 19, youngest person ever to receive the award. And talk about making a statement, whopping 94% of the vote that he got.
Landslide.
I mean, that's not even a landslide. That's a whole typhoon that just wiped out everybody else. That's about what that is. But, the importance of this accomplishment is not lost on Pulisic. He released a video on social media where he said it's something he could have imagined to be in this position. And he goes on to thank everyone who voted for him. Quite a lot of people, it sounds like, with 94%. And also the people who supported him along the way. He says he's looking forward to the future. And Sonny, a lot of those people who have supported him are offering their congratulations on social media. Like Dortmund, the team that he plays for in the Bundesliga in Germany, they congratulate Pulisic on their official Twitter account and say that the award was well-deserved. And the U.S. men's national team puts out a list on social media of some of the top stats from this young star in his young career. And they just simply write, "Just a kid from Hershey, Pennsylvania." So it just goes to show, any kid out there playing soccer, you can do great things and do them at quite a young age if you put your mind to it and you have the talent. behind you. But with all those congratulations for Pulisic and all the focus on what's likely to be a long and successful soccer career, and certainly we hope it will be, there is a tinge of sadness to this because many fans were indeed very much looking forward to seeing Pulisic playing on soccer's biggest stage at the World Cup.
Yep.
And now they'll have to wait at least 4 years before they can get that chance. So, in fact, when the U.S. men's national team failed to make the World Cup, that was one of the big headlines that I saw, is the lost boys of the U.S. men's national team talking quite a lot about Pulisic and how he's deprived of this opportunity. So hopefully in 4 years, everything will be back on track. He'll still be at the top of his game, and he'll be at the World Cup in 2022.
Andrew, you mentioned how Christian Pulisic is from Hershey, Pennsylvania. Hershey, home to Hershey chocolate. I guess you could say this is a sweet award for Christian Pulisic.
Very sweet. And I would say, too, judging by his athletic acumen, I don't think he eats a lot of that chocolate. I think he stays pretty healthy.
What else is trending on this Friday, Andrew?
Well, last night, the Indianapolis Colts took on the Denver Broncos in the Thursday night National Football League game at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis, in a game that was pretty inconsequential because going into that game, the Colts had 3 wins, 10 losses. The Broncos had 4 wins, 9 losses. Neither of them were going to make it to the playoffs, pretty clear. But the game was of particular importance to two Colts fans named Jennifer Hardy and Joseph Swaim, because last night before the game, Jennifer Hardy and Joseph Swaim got married on the field at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Sweet.
Yes, very sweet. They stood in the end zone. They had the Colts mascot, a blue horse aptly named Blue, officiate the wedding. And even though that mascot couldn't talk, he held up kind of cue cards with the, this is when you say I do, this is when you say your vows. And fans on social media just loved it. They said nothing like a pregame wedding to get everybody excited for the game. Some fans tweeting and posting on Facebook from the game were quite surprised. They said, wait, is that a pregame wedding on the field? You don't often see that at a football stadium. But in addition to having the honor of getting married on the field of an NFL stadium in front of tens of thousands of people, the new couple will also be receiving a pretty sweet wedding present, tickets to the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Although the Indianapolis Colts will not be there, they will still get to go to the Super Bowl, which is pretty cool. Now, this has become a point of contention for one fan. She posted on social media that she and her husband last year got married at Cleveland's First Energy Stadium before a Cleveland Browns and Chicago Bears football game, but they didn't get any Super Bowl tickets for that. So she said, what gives, NFL? Where are our Super Bowl tickets? Worth noting that with a record of 0 wins, 13 losses, the Browns are not going to the Super Bowl or the playoffs either.
Well, Andrew, I remember on a recent show you talked about that huge salary that NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell will be getting, something in the neighborhood of $200 million. I think he could afford some Super Bowl tickets for that couple.
You know, with that money, I think they could fill the whole stadium with fans. But,
Roger, if you're listening, I want you to buy that couple a Super Bowl ticket.
They do deserve it, absolutely.
What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, yesterday we talked about Google's list of the top sports searches in 2017. And just to recap, the first 10 were number 10, the UEFA Champions League, number 9, the NBA playoffs, number 8, the FIFA Confederations Cup, number 7, the U.S. Open, and number 6, the Australian Open. Well, today, Sonny, we have the top 5. Number 5, the World Series. Of course, a huge story as the Houston Astros captured their first ever World Series title and boosted the city of Houston after Hurricane Harvey. Number 4 was the Tour de France, a fourth Tour de France title this year for Britain's Chris Froome. Number 3, the fight of the year, Mayweather versus McGregor. We just actually got word yesterday that 4.3 million people tuned in on pay-per-view, making it the second biggest pay-per-view ever after Mayweather-Pacquiao. Number 2, the Super Bowl. Of course, the New England Patriots, historic come-from-behind victory, 25 points down, and the first ever Super Bowl to go to overtime. And, drum roll, number 1, Wimbledon. On the women's side, of course, Joanna Konta, the first British semifinalist in 40 years, Venus Williams going to the final, and on the men's side, one name, Roger Federer. 19th Grand Slam title and record 8th Wimbledon title.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks, Sonny.
And that wraps up the December 15th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sidrak Franklin. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Syria and Iraq, ISIS will soon be history. But even as it struggles to stay alive and relevant, it is critical that it not be allowed to regroup and flourish elsewhere. Terrorist groups with safe haven are able to export their violence around the world, striking our homeland and those of our closest allies. We saw Al-Qaeda do this from Afghanistan in the 1990s through 9/11. More recently, we saw ISIS do the same from Iraq and Syria, said Ambassador at Large and Coordinator for Counterterrorism Nathan Sales before a Senate Foreign Relations Subcommittee recently. For that reason, the United States is working with partners in North Africa in order to deny terrorists the ability to operate in the continent's vast spaces where government reach is lacking. To mitigate the threat posed by terrorist groups in North Africa, we are helping fragile states build capacity, as well as leveraging highly capable states' counterterrorism expertise. We want to develop our African partners' counterterrorism capabilities to a point where they need not rely on assistance from the United States to defend themselves, said Ambassador Sales. The United States works with its partner states to improve their ability to investigate, prosecute, and adjudicate terrorism crimes. To stop terrorist travel, we are focusing on improving border security through information sharing at international borders, particularly with regard to known and suspected terrorists. Our efforts to prevent radicalization and recruitment of individuals into terrorist groups include delegitimizing the violent ideology they espouse. Countering radicalization in a way that is tailored to each North African country is another critical component of a comprehensive approach to counterterrorism, said Ambassador Sales. We undertake these efforts in cooperation with European allies, other key partners, and multilateral institutions to amplify their impact. The United States uses a range of tools and resources and works closely with the governments of North Africa and other partners to comprehensively address terrorism, said Ambassador Sales. Our training and resources are directly assisting partners to disrupt terrorist operations, prosecute terrorist suspects, and protect borders.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. On weekends, tune into Nightline Africa at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts. Every hour on the top of each hour, 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondent reports from around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.